Kuna is the main principles that it expounds. You know, the whole thing, the moment of power is now.
Yeah.
Energy flows
where attention goes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, those sorts of phrases that, you know, love is happiness in the moment. You know, I mean, all of those sort of phrases that and philosophies that Huna, expounds is you know, I think that's what I've gotten the most out of.
Yeah, I agree. They're great, great affirmations and aphorisms. All right, cool. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. Bye.
I wanted to make a comment on the first question that you asked.
Yes.
You definitely have to be prepared to go with the flow. Like, if you freak out and you give, like, you're opening all over again or something, then she's going to be like, okay, then this isn't the guy I want to talk to.
Exactly. It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yes, it is partly a test. But, yeah, you need to be prepared just in case she really does want that. Otherwise, like, they'll start making out with the guy next to you.
Exactly.
Which is bad.
I'd hurt still.
In a way, it's almost like a double-edged word for guys, because girls want a guy that will pass their shit test, but in order to pass their shit test, the guy has to be a smooth guy, which means that he has to have had success with a lot of women. But yet, a woman will say she doesn't want a guy who has been with a lot of women.
It's so funny, man.
Right.
Yeah, so true. It's mostly when this model was talking on the show, I was thinking in my head, you're setting your standards so high, the only guy you're going to get is a player who's going to, like, eat you alive.
Exactly.
Anyway, next call.
The next question we have comes from Vodka.
Hi.
Hey.
I've been listening to this, and it's really frustrating listening to you guys, because you're talking about, like, the end of the game.
I know. I was thinking that, too.
You know, and, like, because I've been, you know, I've been out being desireless and indifferent when I've had a girlfriend, and, you know, nothing happens to me then either, because I don't really know what the fuck I'm doing still. You know, I got a girlfriend. You know, I've got lucky. I'm back in my AFD days. And so the one thing that I'd like to have you guys talk about, if you can, is just about how I get over. It was really cool when you said you were not born fucked up. We're born naturals and we get fucked up, which is, I'm a Buddhist too, and I believe that. And so the whole, I believe that about everything, not just the pickup. But I got fucked up on the whole playfulness thing really early. So that's still my big sticking point. So what do you guys have to suggest for having things, being able to come from a place of giving? I can give comfort, like, really well, but I can, and connection, I did a lot of work on that. But being the attraction part is still completely eluding me, being fun and energy, raising the energy level in an attractive way.
One of the things that you know, I talk about is that there has to be a balance between comfort and attraction. There's too much comfort and not enough attraction, you end up with just a friend.
That's exactly been my story.
Yeah. I can tell when you're talking, by the way, that you would make a great friend. You know, you're a steady guy, you're dependable, you're smart, you give great advice. I can tell that you are in friend zone with many people.
Yeah, you don't have a sexy edge about you.
Yeah. So what can I do about that?
Well, you know, the other balance is that attraction, if you just have attraction but not enough comfort, then you have someone who a woman will feel as a player, you know, or a one-night stand. So basically attraction, you want to focus on is attraction energy. And I guess that's the best way that I can talk about it, is that basically it's like anything that is new, different, exciting, adventurous, and it's not just on a relationship level. It can be on a sexual level too. In fact, sex, I think, has to be balanced too, where you have comfort, you know, sex, where you feel close to the person, but you also have to have attraction sex, where it's hot and really kind of exciting, you know, fun. So, you know, just focus on all the things that are new, different, fun, exciting, adventurous, that whole energy, and kind of carry it over, not just in your relationship, but into your sexual life too.
I have a couple thoughts too, which is, hey, we're all different. What works for one person is not necessarily what works for another person. So if being the playful fun guy is not in your personality, and not only is it not in your personality, let's say you try it. First of all, A, you got to go out and try it in terms of getting specific fun, playful pieces and trying them, which you'll hit if you haven't hit yet in the assignments online and the missions. So go out and make sure you try those. Don't just say they're not me. But once you, if they're trying them and they're not working for you, there's some other things you can do, which is I would start giving mixed messages. You know, instead of being dependable all the time guy, sometimes you're off with someone else. Sometimes they allude to some fantastic sexual relationship experience you're having that they can't be a part of. In other words, close off a little part of your life to them that they don't have access to. Because very special people get that access. Once they get that access, they get taken to worlds beyond what they can even imagine.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
And it can almost be where she's uncovering a part of you that she didn't know before.
Right. Give her a goal with you to strive to that's even more fantastic than your relationship would be right now as a friend.
Yeah, don't show all your cards right away and play the full deck. Hold some cards back and make those great things about your rewards for finding out more about you. Be less available. And it goes back to also, Neil has you out in doing all these great things like talking to people, strangers, and I really think that people do want to connect socially and they do want to be outgoing. I just think they're afraid. And I think that's probably the natural state is that you are friendly and you are kind of an extrovert, even if you consider yourself an introvert. And so I think that you've got to build that sexy edge. And I think that definitely by mixing it up a little bit and being a little unpredictable is going to do that. You know,
right.
I have this thing that I tell my guys, and it's the more, and this is about women, the more you tell them, the more you repel them. Okay? And I think that, less is more. I mean, look, we've all heard these adages. I didn't make these up, okay? These have been around. These are things that are like life lessons. And, someone should, when they meet you, they should want to find out more by getting together with you. To find out more in a comfortable situation, whether that be over a glass of wine at your place or a glass of wine somewhere or someplace that isn't crazy. And if you just play all your cards and you're completely available, why would any girl have a sense of urgency to ever get together with you again for any reason other than I need to cry on your shoulder and I'm just getting over this breakup with this guy. Can you help me through it? And I mean only as my good friend.
You know, it's interesting about what you brought up about less is more and when you tell them, you repel them. What's interesting about attraction and about what a woman sees as her ideal mate, oftentimes when we're silent and, you ask the right questions, you say the right things at the right times, you're almost creating a mirror to which she can project her ideal person onto. And as long as you are allowing her to do that, you'll have success.
That's the intense, I know, man. he's like the perfect mirror, man. He's so good at that. And so last thing, and then we'll take the next caller, which is now that you've got all these great female friends, have them go out with you to meet women. Just lay it on the line. Just say, yeah, I want to meet a cool girl. I haven't had a girlfriend for a while. Here's how you're going to help me. You're going to tell them these things about me.
That's been happening. It's just that I keep blowing it with them, too, by too boring.
But no, you're not boring. You're just being too available.
Yeah. You're probably a really cool guy with a lot to offer, and you probably have a fantastic personality, but you're just not showing it. And if anything, as a last resort, you can always just ask these girlfriends what it is about you that would make you more attractive to women. And just telling them, you're not trying to hit on them. And stop thinking of them as, you're going to move from friend to lover. Just get that out of your mind, which will hopefully help you relax and convey the proper energy, and ask their advice too.
And last thing, and then I keep saying.
Let me
throw out one more thing before I get it. And after you, one question per call period, because we probably got a crazy line of zillions of guys, and we're running out of time.
We have a third of the call in the queue. Yeah.
Okay. So after this, we're doing a question speed round: minute question, minute answer.
Okay.
But let me just tell you one thing. And then we're going to cut you off. We're not going to get to ask a second question. You can ask it next conference.
No, it's just following up about trust.
Here's an issue. I learned this on the radio last night. As soon as they say one more thing, you cut off the caller. That's a radio philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you ask just because I'm just not that cruel, but I'm not going to give you the piece of advice I was going to give you. So which do you want?
I want to know about giving mixed messages and being not always being dependable, but not ruining trust in the process. Because being trustworthy is really important to me.
If you're always a man, there's no contradiction. You're a man of your word. You keep your word.
They do what you say.
But they never know whether you like them or they don't like you. You don't say, you know, they never know whether you like them or you don't like them, whether you're going to talk to them now or you're going to go walk away with somebody else. There's no contradiction whatsoever. You're always a man of your word. You're always trustworthy. And they have to earn your trust and respect.
And don't overcommit. Don't commit to so many things.
So when you say not being dependable means like just not always being, saying yes when they ask, are you free tonight?
Learn to say the word no once in a while.
Okay.
Or even asking for something in return. Like, you know, putting a value, that when you ask for something in return, it puts a value on you, you know.
Here's your deal. Get out of your own head. Stop taking shit so seriously. Relax. Lighten up. And when you're talking to someone, make it so they never know whether you're serious or not. That's how you're going to be playful. Without even changing your personality, a little grin at the end. You know what I mean? Like, sort of smiling to yourself afterward. Try, practice this literally in the mirror. Saying the things you say in your flat, deadpan, very great voice, which I wish I had. Try saying those things in a way so they're never sure that you're serious or not. And you'll implicitly, in everything you say, give these attractive mixed messages that people will want and yearn closure for. Awesome.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Next, we have Bombay. Go ahead, Bombay.
Cool. Speed round starting now. Bombay.
Hey, guys. This is awesome. I don't believe I'm talking to all of you at the same time. I'm excited.
Awesome.
My question is, I've been going out for almost an year and approaching a lot of people, guys and girls and everybody, you know, just being social. And I only had like 3 day 2s out of it. And it's just confusing and kind of frustrating to see only 3 outcomes, you know.
Cool.
I want to know what.
Yeah, here's what you're doing wrong.
More than what you had before, though. And one way to look at it is that you're always making progress, you know. You're always moving. As long as you're moving in the right direction, even if you're taking baby steps, little steps, you know, you're moving in the right direction. You're doing something towards your goal, and you'll get there.
Right, and here's what you're doing wrong. Two things. One is neediness. You're giving off a needy energy. If people are not hanging out with you and closing you and doing things afterward with you, it's because you're probably giving off some needy energy where they feel like you sort of need their validation, right? So just make out your goal and work on it, okay? That's the one thing. That's isolated to that. Secondly is the tribal thing I always talk about. Make sure that the way you sort of dress and groom and convey and carry yourself, like the kind of guy who she could have on her arm and have her photo taken with and put that photo on her fridge.
Exactly.
Okay. So work on those two things. Cool, Bombay?
Someone who her friends would...
that's awesome.
Attractive.
Sorry.
Yeah, stop acting like you want it.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but
man.
You know what? How do I do that when I really want it? How do I stop acting?
You've got to give that up because that road leads to nowhere. It leads to nowhere. You're taking all that baggage into all these interactions with you. You're taking that I want it in there. And every time you're doing that, you're just further from getting it.
Right, and that's the whole philosophy of the academy anyway, which is set yourself a very, very small goal. Like my friends and I will go out, our goal is to get a hand massage from a girl and make it fun. Don't make it so serious.
Yeah,
but anyway,
don't be hard on yourself with, you know, only having like 3 second dates or whatever. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just relax a little bit and you'll have much more.
Cool. All right, non-neediness, work on the way you carry, hold, and dress and convey yourself. All right, thanks, Bombay.
Next we have Smile. Go ahead, Smile.
Hey, Smile.
Hey, in the introduction to Intense, it talked about how great he was at eliciting values. So what are some tips along those lines?
Well, for value elicitation, the way I think of it is someone has a value, it's a quality, something they want out of life. So it's like, I think of it in XYZ format. You have the value, and then there's the way that the person knows that they have it. You know, the criteria, the mechanism. And then, you know, when you have the value, you have it in the way that you want it, what does that give you? And for a lot of people, that's a sense of fulfillment and, you know, feeling, you know, like, you know, their life purpose has been achieved, you know, that sort of thing. And so, you know, when you ask someone, what do you want out of life? Or, I mean, you can ask values about sex. I do it all the time where, you know, I say, what is it about sex that you really like? What quality do you like about it? And, you know, the answer, let's say, is, you know, I like it when it's really sensuous. Well, how do you know that it's sensuous? What has to happen, or what happens when it's really sensuous? Then they start describing it really hot, heavy. There's a lot of skin on skin, touching, low, kind of building it up. And as they're talking, and you're repeating back to them what they're saying, you think, oh, okay, so it's slow, so it's really building up. And, you know, you're kind of building this momentum. And then you say, so when you have this sense of being really sensuous, where, you know, it's slow, where you're building it up, where it's skin on skin, where you're fully immersed in this moment, what is it like? And that question, what is it like, they have to go inside, and they have to remember what it was like to have that, or what it would be like in their imagination to have that. And that leads the person directly to the state of arousal.
Great stuff, man. Good question. Thanks.
Thank you.
For details on up-and-coming teleseminars, be sure to get on the mailing list at www.stylelifeacademy.com.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Next, we have a question from X-Ray. Go ahead, X-Ray.
Hey, X-Ray.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for taking my call. Neil, I met you at the book mission, and thanks for the amazing advice. It has started to change my life a great deal.
That is awesome, man. I recognize your voice. What did you look like?
I had really long, curly hair. You told me to get a haircut and look like Viggo Mortensen from Lord of the Rings.
I remember. Yep, I recognize the voice.
awesome. So here's my question, guys. I'm going to try to make it very, very quick because I know we have a limited amount of time. But also very interesting that intense is here because one of your methods that I read from Neil's book, I used it in a bar with a beautiful waitress who was there. I did a lot of push-pull, and I did some energy work, and she was rolling her eyes back, and she was ignoring customers. It was wonderful. But here's the thing. She number closed me, and we exchanged numbers, and I told her I'd give her a call in a little while because I'm a very busy guy. I did call her, and I made our meeting something very interesting. I said, okay, pick a number from 1 to 3. There are 3 different things we could do. So I try to make it a bit interesting and mysterious. So she's picked 2, and she said, what are the other 2? And I said, I'm not going to tell you. Maybe we'll get to those later. So,
yeah, great.
This is textbook so far. Go ahead.
It's all from you, Neil. So we made the date, and I made sure I was working around the corner, and we stopped. So I was there at the allotted time. She stood me up. I waited for 10 minutes, and then I took off. And then later that day, she calls me up very, very apologetically, saying, you know, I had this thing. I had to help a friend buy a puppy. And I remember something, Neil, that you said, which is, you know, you have to sort of set your standards. And to me, I would never stand anyone up. I think it's, you know, it could be a shit test or whatever. And so what I said to her was, I had a smile in my voice over the phone, and I said, you know what? I'm a Scorpio, and I'm going to make you pay for this. And I said it in a really sort of light, joking tone. She goes, what do you mean by that? I said, I'm a Scorpio. I tease. You know, I'm going to make you pay for this. And I said, listen, I'm really, really busy, but let's definitely do this again. Call me at this time because I'm a very busy guy and so on. And she never did call.
That's great.
Okay, she never did call me back. And to me, I tried to, again, looking at it as it was a great experience trying this stuff out that worked. But for me, I mean, her character in getting to know her, she was a very interesting person. I would have liked to have got her to know her more. But my thing was, when I sort of didn't, not that even if it was a shit test, when I sort of challenged her by saying, I'm going to get you back, and so on. Was that too strong? Was I in the right track? How do you sort of rope that back in? Because I believe she was being apologetic.
Let me hop in. All right, so good. Great stuff. Sounds like you played the game perfectly. The fact that she didn't show up, I'm going to guess, it has to do with, like, you know, sometimes when you've played everything perfectly and you know it's on and you know it's right and something goes wrong, it's something out of your control, like there was a boyfriend or an ex or something on the scene.
Exactly. But
she still sincerely wanted to be with you and all that stuff. The other place where you sort of went wrong and you didn't go wrong because it's recoverable is you put the power in her hands. Now it all depends on whether she calls you or not. And as we generally know, that's often not going to happen unless you've really demonstrated some amazing value. So
I was actually trying to do that in the sense of being sort of non-urgent, right? Like
I love what you did, and here's the deal. Here's what you did, and I love that. I would actually use that piece, and then I'd have part of the sort of, if I'm going to codify it into a game or a routine, then the piece is that you sort of half expect that she calls you, you know it's on 100%. If she doesn't call you, that's fine too. You just wait like a week and a half, then you call her back and you invite her to a thing you're having with a bunch of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Say, come along. There could be some cool people you might want to meet. I just thought you'd fit in here. And you ignore everything that went. You ignore everything that went on before. You don't even mention it. You don't bring it back up. It's over and it's done. It's like she almost feels like she's lost you. Then you call her to invite her to a place where you invited a bunch of other people anyway.
Okay. You know what? It's interesting you say that. Let me just add my sort of second part. What I did do was about a week later, I gave her, it was, I guess, at the very edge of sort of after Christmas, New Year's night. And she, when we were on the phone, she said, I want to make it up to you. I want to take you out to lunch. And I said, that sounds really great. Call me this time. We'll make an arrangement. And what I did about a week after that call, I texted her and I said, boy, 2007 is going to start off really amazing with a free lunch from you.
Right.
Anyway, that's how I ended it.
Okay, cool. Anyway, I think you played this well. I think this is great. This is fine. I think she has another situation. So Brent would probably say, Brent, would you have just kind of called her out on her situation? She said, is there something else going on? Just, you know, I probably at some point when it's getting ridiculous, I'd be like, you know, just what's going down, man?
Yeah, I would have said, well, you know, what's the story? I mean, your answer to when you said, you know, invite her to something that isn't a date, I like that. That's excellent because that now takes the pressure off of everything. I think that's the direction you should go with this. What I would be doing is thinking, you know, two things. I wouldn't like, you know, spend 3 years on it, but first of all, an act of God happened and, you know, it's out of your control and don't beat yourself up over it.
Okay.
But then again, what is it that you may look inside and what is it that you may have done to cause this? And, you know, maybe you set the ball rolling for flaking. I just would, you know, I'm just saying to consider it. I'm not saying that it's true in this case. I'm just saying I always considered that when that used to happen to me. It doesn't happen to me ever anymore. But when it did, you know, I was always, first thing I wasn't to do was blame them. And then when I really turned the corner, I started to figure out, you know, act of God possibly, but is there anything that I could have done that would have caused it so that I don't do it next time?
Right. And here's the last thing, and then we'll move on to the next caller, which is, I like you've been thinking about this a lot since this happened in January and it's now April. So the fact is this, you played this perfectly. I love your answers. I love the way you played it. You got the skills to be with just about anybody anyway. If you really, really want this girl, then go back to the restaurant with a gorgeous girl who's all over you and have a nice meal and just treat her like a friend. All right, next call.
Yay. Okay, the next call comes from Methodune. Go ahead, Methodune.
Hey. Oh, hello, guys. What's going on?
Hey,
what's happening, man? Style, thank you, first and foremost, man. You've changed my fucking life, dude.
Dude, I'm glad. I'm glad you're digging the Academy, man. I've been reading your stuff in the forum.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I believe that, you know, you guys were talking about this earlier, that it's all about reframing. Like, Swing Cat told me this one thing where, you know, he had a drink poured on him or something like that. And he goes, well, when I said drinks were on me, I didn't mean on me, right?
Right.
It's all about, like, reframing your mind and the way, you know, it all starts internally, I believe.
Right.
My question is, what are some things that you guys do on day twos in terms of, you know, topics you would discuss, venues you guys would go to?
that's like a whole conference call.
I don't do day twos, so...
Right.
You know what, Matthew?
I do day twos with LTR potential. That's you know.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I don't go on dates anyway. So, you know, for me, we're only getting together for one reason and one reason only. There's no other reason that we're getting together. And it's never out in public at all. So never like where it happens. It's usually my place or their place. That's it.
Really?
It's agreed upon that that is our relationship.
Explain how you, other guys, we could either have a whole conference call on day twos, because I'd love to talk about it. I'd love to talk about your sort of system there.
Right.
Yeah.
So Brent, we do this again, because I'd love to talk about, let's have a call about day twos, because I have a different thing.
Because
I would love to hear about that. So Methodune, let's just do a day two conference call, because I think that's
okay. Can I ask you? Let me ask you a different question then.
We got 7 minutes left and like 100 guys hanging. But right. But next call.
All right, definitely.
All right, brother. Thanks.
Bye bye.
Yay! I wanted to get to Mark in Serbia because he came so far.
Okay.
Mark your line.
Hello?
Yeah, by the way, I just want to jump out that when I'm rushing people rushing through the calls, I'm not being rude to anybody individually. I just want to be trying to be respectful of the hundreds of guys hanging on the calls. So I'm trying to not be rude and be respectful to them. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, totally.
It's really, this is Mark from Serbia, from Belgrade, Serbia, and it's really a pleasure.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure to be on this conference call, and man, I've got to tell you, when I read the game, and when I read that you were in Belgrade, I was so furious that I didn't know about the community at that time.
Knew about it back then, man.
Yeah, yeah, and are you planning on coming back and visiting your friend Marco again and maybe doing a workshop?
I don't know if I'll do a workshop, but I'll definitely be back there, man, because I just walking through the central square there, it's like we literally would count the amount of, you know, gorgeous women that would pass by, the ratio of gorgeous women. It's unbelievable. I love that place, and I definitely have some girls there, too.
If you ever come back, man, please contact me through the forum so we can maybe meet or maybe giving me some tips on one of your...
We'll have a little Style Life hang. If there are any other places in the Balkans, we'll meet at a Cafe Plato and hang out.
Okay, that's great. Well, now I have a question for you and Brent, and Intense too. You said that success breeds confidence, and I had a discussion with my friend about it. We watched The Secret, which Brent recommends and which Style Life recommends too.
Yep.
And that movie, as you all know, has rocked the world, I think. And The Secret basically says you gotta visualize first and feel. So it comes from it comes internally first, and then you can do or, you know, have stuff. So Brent said that first, you gotta have a good feeling internally before you can manifest. And you said success breeds confidence. So which is it? Am I making any sense here?
I think I follow, but I think they all come together. A success mindset brings success, breeds success, breeds confidence. I would assume, if I'm understanding
it's
correctly.
It can work both ways.
Yeah.
Confidence breeds success, and success breeds confidence. It's like having a strong inner game flows into your outer game, your skills and your mindset. And having strong skills and mindset flows into your inner game. So it's kind of like they both support each other.
Yeah, and I really am firmly, firmly of the belief that, yes, you can set everything positive. You can set all your channels positive. But to really, really solder the connections so they're solid versus just kind of weak and flimsy, you have to go out and prove that mindset correct with real life experience, and then that hardwires all those thoughts and behaviors because you need to prove them in the real world. In my belief, in my experience.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great question.
There's this quote by Robert Anton Wilson. It's the future exists first in the mind, in the imagination, and then in the will, and then in reality.
And I got one last thought for you before you run, which is you got an opener. I think that's a good question. I could talk about it for hours. So could Intense and so could Brent. So I would actually use that if you can root it in, you know, where I was having this discussion that I just saw The Secret as an opener, especially if a lot of people have seen The Secret.
Certainly.
So.
All right,
okay, guys. I don't know if... Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for calling, man.
Do we have time for a few more?
Yeah, we got as long as you'll give us.
Awesome. Okay. Next, we have Drugstore Cowboy.
All right, Drugstore Cowboy.
Hey, you guys. My question is, earlier you were talking about building a lifestyle where people come to you, and I'm in a situation where I'm trying to sort of build up a new social circle from scratch.
Right.
And I'd kind of like to hear if you guys have any tips for just creating a robust social life.
I think you need a monkey, a midget, and like a 6'8" goon. You walked around town with like a monkey and a midget. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you like your traveled with a sideshow circus act.
Yeah, exactly.
Be the most popular person, everyone would talk to you.
Right. If you're trying to build it, if I was literally trying to build it from scratch, I really would get one person who was like my sidekick, who like maybe never spoke. Maybe like a midget or like a 7-foot tall goon. That's my goon. Go ahead.
So, like, I frequently will do stuff you know, that I would be doing normally that's fun for me, but I do it alone. And I guess I get kind of nervous with inviting people to do things because, you know, if they flake out on me, then it's like, well, I can go do it alone or whatever. And I'm nervous that, like, if people show up and then eventually if they hang out with me enough, you know, they'll realize, well, this guy has a limited amount of friends. So
doesn't matter.
You know what? That's a limiting belief. I mean, you got to start somewhere. Everybody had to start somewhere with, you know, one or two friends, I mean, and build it from there. I think that just the fact that you just said that means you believe it,
right.
You know, that you're thinking about it. And so you're going to, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. So everybody's either going to stay away and not show up, or when they get there, they are going to think that.
Exactly. Your problem is exactly what Brent is saying. Your limiting beliefs about A, that they're going to flake. I don't never think anyone's going to flake, and they don't flake. You know, and B, that they're going to think you don't have friends. Like, I've moved out. I've been in situations where I've literally had no friends, or maybe they've never met my friends. And it's still be fine. These are your beliefs, and if you believe them, they'll become actualities, like Brent said. So you got nothing to worry about but yourself, man.
And I would talk to everybody. I would talk to both men and women. Don't want anything from them. You know, if you see fun people, you know, I think David D. said it. Or go buy him a drink, whatever. Just be cool and surround yourself. Use MySpace if you want. I mean, there are so many different... We could do, you know, 8 hours on building a social life from scratch.
I know. We'll have to do that at our teleconference after our day two teleconference. But here's one last thought. Next time you're going to go do your fun thing, invite some 6 people, you know, and just say I'm inviting a few people. And that way you're not going to get flaked on and no one's, you know, it might be a big party. It might just be you and one person. Who cares? Just invite everyone to your fun thing and see who's going to step up, show up for life.
And if you're the one person that they all know and have a comment, of course you'll be the most popular one there.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be easy. All right, man.
But you have to be relaxed and be fun to be around, too. So,
yep.
You know, so that proves it to them that they should come back for more.
Yeah, and you've got a great opportunity now to build yourself and exact a great life that you want to. And just don't hold yourself back, man.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Thanks, good question.
Okay.
All right, who we got next, Sarah?
Next, we have Boom Dude.
All right, hey, Boom Dude. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, my question, I'm at where it's my inner game business. I've got the techniques down. I've got a lot of great Kino techniques. And I'm realizing, and even my identity is now locked down, so I know I'm getting IOI girls that are definitely looking at me in a sexual nature. I know I've got a lot of good things going together. What happens is... like now I'm starting to feel like my own beliefs are limiting me from really taking the expertise of being the guy.
What's an example?
Well, for example, last night I've been working some waitresses, some hired guns, and this one girl came right over and just said, hey, I saw you. You were running on talent today. No, I wasn't. No, I know it was, because I weighed that, you know, IOI right there. And, I just kind of shirked away from the opportunity you guys said earlier about being ready for that moment. And what's weird is I'm doing some hypnosis stuff. I've tried to do the visualization thing. I've even read Mastering the Hidden Stuff. And I don't quite get the whole, you know, visualizing these kind of interesting images of energy being projected. Those don't seem to work for me. And I wonder if you guys have something practical I could try to do.
Well, I think
really
you don't have to actually visualize the energy if you don't. I would visualize how you want that interaction to go, the one that went badly. I mean, what does that look like to you when you close your eyes and you feel that moment, you take yourself back to that moment or maybe what you want to happen next time? What does it feel like? What's going on in the background? How is she reacting to you? Visualize the way you want to be. Visualize having all the answers. Visualize her saying, you know, what she said, and then you saying, you know, that wasn't me, but what else is going on, you know? I mean, how are you? How have you been? I mean, it just, you know, you knowing how to then pull her right in there.
Yeah, replay those, like, I agree with that. I always do that. Replay those scenarios in your head till you know what you would have done exactly right, and then replay it over and over again so you have that resource next time it happens. And the bigger thing you're dealing with, and maybe Intense can speak about this really briefly, is worthiness. I think you might know it. You might know what to do. You might know it works. But inside, you still don't believe you're worthy of this stuff happening.
Absolutely. I know I'm screaming. I need validation.
Yep.
Intense, you want to you give a thorough thought in on this?
Well, about worthiness, you know, just it kind of comes back to, you know, all the societal programming that that we have, where a lot of the, quote, the game is back in women's favor. And as men, we're made to feel that we're not worthy and that, you know, all that sort of thing. But all that is just a bunch of BS, you know? I mean, it's what you make it. You know, you have all the ability in the world and all the worth in the world to be able to have what you want.
Yeah, I always remember Mystery at Project Hollywood. I think I might have mentioned this in the book. He's like, he talked about this girl he met. He's like, and we're in the shower, and she's like 19 years old, and I'm looking at her, and she's got like this perfect body, and it's like great ass, and she's completely naked in the shower, and I'm thinking, I deserve this. so I would take a tip from that. It cracked me up when he said that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, so I would take a tip from that, and when you're in those situations and things are going well, just think in your head, I deserve this. Yeah. Every time something goes well, just think, yeah, I deserve this. Till you start to actually feel all the time, even when things aren't going well, you know what you deserve.
And energy goes where attention, you know.
Yeah.
Energy flows where attention goes. If you focus on your worthiness, on your success, you know, whenever you're with a girl and you are having success, it's like, you know, when you focus on all of those instances, energy is going to go into that part of your life.
Cool, man. Thanks, Boom, dude. And I know you're a successful guy in real life, and I think anybody who and woman, you do deserve that. You know you do. So I think it's just a matter of enough experience, enough success, and enough telling yourself that you deserve it.
Awesome.
Thanks, brother.
I'm real close. Thanks, man.
All right. Can we? I know we're over time, Sarah, but can we take a few more?
Yeah, as many as you want.
All right.
Next, we have Evangelist.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
All right, so my question is a little bit beyond, like, opening and that stuff. Just so you know, I'm a pretty good-looking guy. I was very sociable before, but everything that would seem to happen when I would talk to people is that I would tell them everything, and I wouldn't get anything in return. So now since I've been using openers, two things have really been happening. One, I get kind of a cold stare from a lot of people, kind of like in shock, or people put me through, like, an interviewing process, and I really don't know how to react to this.
When you say interview process, what do you mean? When you
Well, it's like I go up and I start talking, like I'll do like jealous girlfriend or something, and then people will like instantly jump into like, oh, where are you from? I like your hair. Where'd you get those shoes? Dot, dot, dot.
Great. So here's the deal.
Well,
you're that's fucking fantastic. There's no power in these openers and these stories. The opener is meant to open. So guess what you're doing? You're running your opener, you're opening, and they're showing you interest right away.
And you're going right into the underlying purpose of the interaction.
Right.
And every interaction, there's an underlying purpose. You know, the opener gets you to that purpose. And, you know, that purpose is to form a connection on you know, some level. And so it sounds like that's what they are.
Yeah, as long as you're getting the result you want, the correct performance of the material, doesn't all matter that much. The fact that they're asking questions and they want you to stay, well, guess what? You not only skip past the opener, you also skip past the demonstrating value part. So now you can start to show your personality and create rapport and attraction. You just happen to be lucky enough that you're got enough going for you that you demonstrate value with a certain amount of people simply just by being cool and existing and wearing nice shoes.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I have the 10% rule. 10% of women out there, no matter what you do, they're not going to get with you. There's another 10% that no matter what you do, they are going to get with you. And then the other 80% is in your control.
Cool, man.
Cool.
All right, thanks. Good question.
Thanks so much.
Next, we have a question from Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey.
How's it going?
I just want to really get your guys' opinion and thoughts on an approach I did like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, Kurt.
So, like, lately, since I've been in Style Life, I approached, like, 15 to 20 girls at the gym, like Gold Gym. And what I did was this chick walked over to me and she started to work out by me. So I like pointed my finger at her and I like pointed it like, hey, come here for a second. She took her iPod off and I was like, hey, can I get your help for a second? And she was all sure. And like I walked right by her and sat on her machine. So I took her machine Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, thanks. You know, so I started working on just like using her machine. And she was like, hey, you know, give me my machine back. And next thing you know, like we started a conversation. And I was like teasing her about the tiny weight that she was using. And next thing you know, she opens up. And she just starts like randomly talking to me about all this stuff. And I was just so shocked because the chick is so hot. And and I ended the conversation kind of quick. And I felt like I could have continued it, but I don't know why I ended it.
Well, it may have been good that you
did, too. Oh, I'm sorry, what's that?
It may have been good that you ended it kind of quick, too, but go ahead.
Okay, so I went back, like, a couple days later thinking I might see her, because she lives in a, like, I went to a gym that's, like, a big gym a couple cities away, so I don't go there very often. And I saw her, and I'm thinking she'll probably recognize me. Well, I did see her, and as I saw her, I didn't know really how to approach it again, so I just kind of walked by, and I was like, teased her again about the weight. So I was just kind of like, oh, you know, don't hurt yourself with those heavy weights. And she kind of giggled, and I just walked by. And later on, when I was working out, she walked up to me out of nowhere, and she was like, hey, how do I know you? And I was like, oh, you know, we talked the other day, blah, blah, blah. And we started to talk for a little bit, and I started to give her a little bit of advice on working out. And I was like, we were talking about how cool it was for a girl to actually train with weights instead of always being in the cardio room. And so I, like, gave her a high five, you know, when we were talking. Next thing you know, she's all like, hey, did you bring your bathing suit with you? And I was just totally shocked, like, out of nowhere. I was like, what? Wasn't prepared for that at all, man.
That's an indicator of interest right there.
That's what I was thinking. And so I'm like, I didn't have it. I mean, I live, like, 60 miles away. So I was like, no, I don't. And next she's, like, asking me what days I come. And I'm like, oh, shoot, you know, this is crazy. And I told her Mondays and Thursdays. And this was on a Monday. And so, like, really kind of nervously, I was, like, trying to wait for it. I don't even think I should have went for the number closed, but I did. I didn't have my phone on me, right? So I'm just like,
well. You're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart. Keep going.
So check out. So then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, we should continue talking. And she's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, you know, what's your number? And she's like, are you going to remember? Do you have your phone? I'm like, no, I don't. But I'm like, I'll try to remember. And I was, like, half-assed, kind of, like, asking for a number. And I'm thinking in my head, I will see this girl next Thursday. Even if I forget her number, no big deal. And so, yeah, I forgot her number. And,
you're already in damage control at this point because keep going. If you still want to go, keep going.
I want to get your thoughts and opinions because I ended up going back. I never saw her, but I'm pretty sure I'll see her this week, and I just wanted to get your guys' ideas.
Okay, dude, here's the deal. You're already in damage control because when she said, translate everything she's saying to what it really means. When she says, did you bring your bathing suit, it doesn't really mean I want to put on bathing suits and thus go swimming with you in the pool. It really means, how can we continue this interaction? That's what she's saying.
Gotcha.
And you didn't give her the opportunity to continue the interaction. You sort of fumbled around. You didn't bring your suit. You made an excuse. And you, like, said, well, tell me your phone number. Well, I didn't bring my phone. Maybe I'll memorize it. She told you, I'm ready to go right here, right now. I'm ready to go. You said, give me your phone number. Maybe I'll remember it. So you're in damage control at this point because you should have said, I didn't bring my swimsuit, but there's this great place around the street. I was going to go grab a smoothie, whatever, there, and take her there. There's this great little hotel lounge. You take her to the hotel lounge, and then you get a room. you had it right there. So at this point, you're in damage control, and you learn your lesson. Your lesson is this: next time you're at the gym, and if you live 60 miles away, this must be a good gym. And if you live 60 miles away, you have a plan in the immediate neighborhood and vicinity where you can take someone if things are working out. And then have that plan, go back in, you know, reconnect the buttons and the triggers, and then just say, hey, I'm going to go grab a drink here afterward. You know, hurry up and change. I only got a little while to hang out.
Got ya.
All right, cool, brother.
Thanks.
Thanks for breaking our hearts right there. But, you know, now you know what to do for next time, so it was worth it. All right, who we got next?
Next we have Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, great to talk to you guys.
Hey, man.
Hi. Okay, so... After reading your stuff and David D'Angelo's stuff and hearing what you guys were talking about today, the thing you said especially about that, like, every guy is born a natural, that really clicked with me. Because I find that a sticking point that I've run into in the past has been that a lot of this stuff, a lot of the good stuff, the right things to do, like cocky funny and, you know, push-pull and all that stuff, has come naturally to me when I don't care. Like, when I'm just kind of not into a girl and don't really care about the results, a lot of the time, I would end up making her attracted to me because I was doing all this stuff without even thinking about it, without trying to, you know? And in the past, when I have tried to, when I wanted to, I just couldn't consciously turn it on. It seems to be like just a, you know, subconscious thing. So I'm wondering if there's, you know, what kind of inner game techniques can I work on to fix it? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you just continue doing what you were doing. You got to, if it's working when you don't care, then stop caring.
Uh-huh. It's that easy,
I mean,
huh?
I know it's not complicated, but it's not. It's simple. Stop caring. And the way to do that is you need to be able to, is to put yourself back in that and don't let those emotions rule you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that I, sorry to interrupt, but one of the things that I always, I think is one of the key, and I think is the key to your question, is that don't be fazed. If you can learn to not be fazed by the way a woman looks, to have that have no effect on you whatsoever, the way that no matter how hot a woman is, if you are unfazed, I think that's the big key.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Don't treat them differently, and don't treat like the one that you're interested in. And I know that that's going to be confusing for you because you want to obviously, you know, state that you're interested a little bit, but you've really got to learn to put them all in the same category. And that's not a slight to women in any way. That just means that you're so involved in this one's different. And so I'm going to try to not care, but I can't not care because I do. And that's just a conversation that just leads to nowhere. So you've got to really just not have it affect you, like he just said, not be fazed by it at all.
Right. What I meant was, though, I mean, a lot of this stuff seems to come kind of as a knee-jerk reaction, you know, like without thinking about it. I mean, so how do I control that knee-jerk other than just to say, I don't care, I'm not going to do it, just even
I think
say
you
that.
Need to, you need to be able to bring that feeling about at will anytime you choose. And so I think you need to revisit those times in your head, even if you have to write it down, that you were like that you were not fazed. And I think that you need to kind of remember, you know, how was I feeling? How was I acting? What was I doing? And you need to just keep that in mind. And you need to just give up that that inner voice about, you know, oh, now I'm interested, so I can't not care. Because you can.
Yeah.
You're just choosing not to. And you also want to think about what is the benefit of you caring? You're getting something out of that.
Right.
That's a can even deeper thing.
Another thing to remember is that all of that fades away when you're completely in the moment.
Right.
When you're completely in the moment, all those questions, all those, am I doing the right thing? You know, what should I say next? All of that fades away. And you're just there when you're completely present in the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Anything else?
I think that's good stuff, man.
I think that's
okay.
It, man. Take that and run with it.
All right. Thanks
for calling.
Thanks a lot. That helps a lot.
Cool. We'll just take a couple more since we're definitely pushing our 2-hour limit.
Okay. Sounds good. Next we have Choke Rider. Go ahead, Choke Rider.
Choke Rider?
Yeah, that's me.
I love your handle.
Yeah, I don't know if I deserve a handle yet, but I hope to live up to it.
Oh, cool. What did we just say about worthiness?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
It's really, really frustrating to hear you guys talk about your conquest and stuff. It's like I live in a different universe.
Yeah.
The fact that you, who was it? Was it Brent or Intense who says he never takes them out to dinner and sees them in public? To me, I can't picture a world where that happens. I've been reading, of course I read your book, I've been listening to all sorts of tapes. Nobody's responding the way they responded to you guys, and I really don't get it. But here's my question, other than my frustration.
I was that guy in that other world, and I made it in, you know, and I moved into...
You know, I know you say it, but reading your book was like reading a Carlos Castaneda book. You know, it seems plausible, and on the other hand, it seems impossible. You know, I want to experience it myself. I want to be able to call you and say, Style, you changed my life.
Right.
But I don't have even a hint of it.
Right, dude. And the first step before you even ask your question is obviously, as anyone who's listening will point out, and probably half the students listening point out, is as soon as you're saying impossible, can't see it, can't envision it, can't make it happen, you know, every time you say one of those words, I just see like in a cartoon, like walls dropping down.
Well, let's make that my question. How do I get around that?
All right, let's make that your question. So how do you get around your limiting beliefs? The question is just so obvious to me that it's almost ridiculous, but you just take it. It's not like you're just going to get on a plane and be in that new world. It's like you just have to take it, you know, one step at a time. And for now, your goal, your new world that you want to be in is a world where you can just walk up to any woman and approach her and talk to any woman. And that's just going to be the new world you want to be in and set a goal for yourself a month from now. Or maybe you're there already, I don't know. And then once you're in that world, your next goal is to go up to any woman, talk to them, and make them enjoy your company and want you to stay. So there's a play of worlds between, in other words, if I'm a rock band and I want to play stadium, and that's like a world away for any rock band starting out, anyone who forms a band in their basement or their garage or some rehearsal space, playing stadiums, that's a long way away. But some bands make it there, right? But first you got to play the club. You know, those tiny, first you got to play the bars where you pay to play, maybe. Then you play some shitty dives where they're like seven people and they're all your friends. And then you pay a bigger club that's got 100 people. So just, you know,
but
just take it.
Scoring with women doesn't really have those stages. I mean,
what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's like I'll talk to women in a bar. I have no problem having a conversation, but it doesn't turn into.
Okay, wait, stop right now. I'm going to make a new rule. And Sarah, listen to me on this, okay? We're going to cut you off on this call if you say any word that ends in N apostrophe T.
Okay.
If you say that, you're just going to be cut off. No answer, nothing, next person, okay?
Fair enough.
So restate what you're saying.
When I speak to women in a bar, I don't get the responses
so long. Bye-bye.
Dang.
So listen, wow. You say like three times in sentences the N apostrophe T. Can't, don't, won't, doesn't.
Yeah.
Your first step is just eliminate those from your vocabulary. And I know I'm giving you some tough love, but
I love it.
For a sentence.
You know what was really interesting about what you said to him though too is that it's like the analogy of a band who's, you know, they want to play stadiums, is that also, you know, definitely they have the big goal in mind, but you also have to be happy at each of those stages and happy to be there and knowing that you're enjoying being there at the small club and knowing it's a step and knowing that once you master that, you move to the next step, not always thinking nine steps ahead.
And also, even though, yes, that was a little jerky of me to do, but I have this place where I still really want to help him, even though I said I wouldn't, which is that all those things that he's saying can be restated in positive ways. Instead of I can't get the responses I want,
absolutely.
You know, how do I get the best responses?
Right.
You know, I don't get the responses. So main advice is start stating everything in positives,
yeah.
And the rest is going to start to flow.
If you don't get the responses, that's exactly why you don't get the responses.
Cool. And I'm going to wind this up by asking Brent the question that this caller asked and that everyone's probably asking a little bit, which is, how do you frame the meeting so that it's such that she's going to your house, knows sex is part of the bargain?
Because I convey that when they meet me. I am not relationship guy. I am fun guy. I'm not the provider. I never will be the provider. But I don't make the statement. My energy conveys that. I'm super cool and super nice, but there's no, I'm not the dating guy. I'm not the go out to dinner guy. I'm the fun guy. And so, first of all, I don't ask for phone numbers. As some of you guys know or don't know if you don't know me, I don't call women ever. I never speak to women on the phone, and that's not because I don't like women or I'm a misogynist, so please don't take it that way. It's just not efficient, and it's good for her, too. And I don't call and ask them out on dates. You know, they always pursue me every single time, 100%. I do not ever pursue. So that is how my life is. That's what I always wanted to do or wanted to be. And I just allowed it to happen because I think women are so tired of being pursued that they would, you know, you guys got to give them some time to be interested in you. We're always out there pushing, pushing, pushing. Hey, let me tell you all these great things about me. Let women be interested in you. Let them pursue you.
So I'm sure that for a lot of guys listening to Pace, the reality is, well, in other words, they've existed like this. They've existed in this sort of way. And so why are women pursuing you? What can they do to excite a woman enough to make her want to pursue them?
Stop wanting them so bad. Stop desiring them so bad. Stop making whatever your goal is to, you know, sleep with all these women the only goal and the most important goal in your life. Your life should not revolve around picking up women. You know, I say it in all my stuff that I write. Your life should be about meeting people, having a great time, having an extraordinary life having positive energy, and people will want to be around you. And all the things that you want, that you, I don't care what your list has on it, all of it can be accomplished if you have the right energy. People, it will just happen around you. It's almost like all you have to do is make a statement, what you want in life. Don't worry about the how so much sometimes. And if you have the right energy and you don't seek it all the time in a desperate way, it will all be handed to you on a silver platter. And you won't have to do hardly anything. And I know that's really hard for some guys to grasp, but that's my tough love part.
But I think I do think there's sort of a line which is between passivity, you know, and active indifference.
Yes, I'm not mean. I'm not rude. I don't speak down to women. I love women. This isn't about us against them. I'm not trying to, you know, keep men and women apart. I love bringing men and women together. I mean, that's the whole idea here. What we're doing currently does not work. So we have to have a new strategy rather than just keep beating the same dead horse over and over again. And even women will tell you, because I talk to them almost every night when I'm out, they'll tell you, wow, you know, it's confidence that's the number one thing. It's a guy being real. It's when I can tell a guy doesn't want me. Women don't mind being assertive. Sometimes they mind being aggressive, but there's a distinction there. You know, let women, you know, women need to also step up and take control of their own social lives, which they don't do. But half the reason they don't do it is because we don't allow them to do it. We don't give them any chance to come after us or to state their intentions with us. Now, we talked about sometimes they just do, but then their experience is when they do, we still don't know how to handle it. So they just stop doing it. That makes sense?
Makes sense. Good stuff, man. So cool. Yeah. And I do think it goes back to that minimalism philosophy, which is once you've got it mastered, once you've got it all down, once you understand everything, once you understand how people operate, once you have total fluidity in every situation,
yep,
then you just start withdrawing and taking away piece by piece by piece by piece. So you just leave the minimum that's there. And I think that's there's a great line that I love of David D'Angelo's, just don't let the line go slack, which is you sort of let go as much as you can, but you never let it go slack. But don't add on too much that you're pulling it and snapping it like most guys do.
Because then it'll be overwhelming, right?
Right. And everyone's balance in that will be different. But the better you get, the more you can let go of.
Yep.
All right, guys. So I want to thank Intense at Octoberman.com and Brent at AbsolutePowerDating.com for doing this. We got to do a reunion because this was so much fun for me, man. I could have doubled or tripled this time easily.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. We could be answering calls all night long.
I know. So let's put it again. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for dealing with the last-minute time change. And I hope it was worth it because we got this, like, power duo here.
I think it was great.
Yeah, it was great. Nice meeting you, Brent.
Yep, nice meeting you as well, Intense.
All right, good. I'll talk to you guys soon, and thanks, guys, for being here.
Thanks, Neil.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks. That was great. I feel like I'm ready to go out and meet Mr. Wright. The Style Life Academy would like to thank all of you for participating in this teleseminar. For details on up-and-coming teleseminars, be sure to get on the mailing list at www.stylelifeacademy.com. Now go outside and make that cutesy smile.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
This is a Bit Seduce exclusive, the ultimate tracker for seduction and self-improvement, the number one resource for pickup artists.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Welcome to your Style Life Academy teleseminar hosted by StyleLife.com. Your host today will be the man who earned the title of the number one pickup artist 3 years running, Neil Strauss, a.k.a. Style, the author of The Game, presenting The Secret Society of Pickup Artists. By speaking on this call, you are agreeing to release all rights and grant permission to StyleLife.com to use this recorded conference call in whole or in part for any purpose with no further compensation due. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce your Style Life Academy founder and headmaster, Neil Strauss, known to many of you simply as Style.
Hey guys, what's happening? Thanks for being patient while we worked out some technical difficulties. I'm really happy to have with me Juggler, and unlike the other conference calls, he's actually sitting right next to me, which allows for physical as well as mental interaction. And so, by way of introduction, I just remember that, you know, when I first got in the community and I was posting online in the news groups, you know, you're very conscious of kind of who the leading figures were. They were the Mysteries and the Ross Jeffries, and there were kind of guys from the past whose archives you'd read who were kind of in the community pre the time people were meeting each other and who've never met people like Mr. Sex for You NYC and Svengali and these guys, and they were sort of like these leading lights. And then one day, this guy just appeared out of nowhere with these sort of very small, pithy, well-written, smart posts. And what was interesting is, unlike the other guys, is he never came on sort of bragging. He never came on sort of asking for help. He just sort of came on with like really, really great advice that came from a completely unknown perspective. And I remember instantly I was really curious about this guy, and I remember posting all kinds of things, asking me like, who are you, where are you from, and post a field report. And I remember it was the only field report you ever posted, and you took
it
down. So by way of the introduction, I'm going to read like some advice he gave me early on. And I didn't mention this in the book, but
I hope this is the bad advice.
It was horrible advice. In fact, I've been trying to find my original question. I can't find it. I don't even know if this is the piece of advice I was thinking of. But this was so early on that I was not only was my name Style, but I was worried sometimes people would ask for my real name, and I didn't want people to know as Neil Strauss.
Well, weren't you at that point?
Chris Poles.
Chris Poles.
So Chris Poles was my so-called real name, so it was like a double distraction so people wouldn't know it.
I like that name. I want you to come out with a book with that name.
Well, I've come out with a porn film as Chris Poles.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No joke. In the porn movies I did for Jenna Jameson, Poles is my alias. Which will help you figure them out if you guys want to get it. It's a good excuse to get a porn film.
I didn't watch that by myself in a room. No, I did not do that.
And the whole reason I did those, by the way, is so my friend of mine is watching like the Jenna Jameson movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of getting off and sees my face pop on the screen. It'll kind of ruin his experience a little bit. So he writes, Chris, you're getting into a snare here because you have not made the intent clear. When I'm seriously trying to pick up a girl, I would never dream of closing without talking about two things. One, letting her know that I'm not interested in a relationship. I tell her I'm a player. Two, sex and physical stuff. Now, once, says, and this is from the married guy who's now married. Now, once I move the subject around to sex, which is every girl's favorite subject, no matter what, you may have been told, we get it all out in the light. We discuss favorite ways to kiss and favorite sex positions. I explain the advantages of the crossbow position, etc. But now, where this is coming from is, if you guys remember in the game, that once I learned how to approach people and how to get phone numbers, I was like, I could not cross the physical barrier. I just could not get a kiss. It took me like 6 months to figure it out, and this is one of the things that helped me. You and I are friends, Chris, but I'm going to take this opportunity to bust yours and others' balls here a bit. You are a likable person. Everybody likes you. Back me up here, guys. Chris is a great person. Dude, I instantly liked you, and I think we share a connection. You made me feel special. I consider you a close friend. You probably make most people who meet you feel the same way, and I'm sure this ability to gain trust and friendship is very useful in many aspects of your life.
See, this is where I'm setting it up so then I can criticize you.
Right, and the very next word is, but.
Beware the but.
Exactly. But I think this is eroding your edge. One of the reasons why you're very likable is that you ask questions and EV people. Also, you're great at making up poems and routines with chicks love. But this puts you into playing in her court, and you spend every subsequent meeting and conversation trying to ease her into your court. Consider changing your MO right from word one. We talked about this on the phone last night. My MO is very simple. We meet for a drink, or she comes right over to watch the cat do backflips. And the cats, as an example, after I hung up with you, I went to the bar to pick up the flute player in that band I was telling you about. Remember her?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Good timing. I come in the door, and a minute later, they take a break. I find her and open with the My Shoes opener. And the first question is going to be, what's the My Shoes opener? Then I tell her about how I broke up with my married girlfriend. I remember that. Tell her all about C.
I was actually heartbroken.
I know. I remember that from Ann Arbor.
Guys, be careful of married women. They break your heart every time.
She talks about her situation. Then I tell her about how much I love my new bed. And then this naturally goes into frank sex talk. By the end of the interaction, 10 minutes at most, we have plans to get together and tentative plans to try new sex ideas on each other. I leave and go home. Mission accomplished. So now on the meet. There is no need for any fancy seller plan. She and I are playing in the proper court from word one. The adventure is that we both know that when we meet up again, we are going back to my place for physical action. That has already been discussed during the Sarge. The way to do this is to lead right out of the gate with your values, and I think that's an important idea right there. Then once you have rapport, you do not need to match values for this. Move the conversation to sex. You discuss it in a candid way without using humor or accepting her making jokes about her. as people are accustomed to do. Talk about it as if you were chatting about dishes at a favorite restaurant. No need to get her feeling sexy in a sneaky NLP way or using poem. Just talk about it right out in the open. Now, once you've done that, then the MO for the meet will be an easy no-brainer. Now, sure, you're probably going to lose some conservative non-sexual chick or girls who are into bent on marriage before sex, whereas some super sneaky guy may NLP her into submission, or some poetry guy may touch her soul so deeply that she throws her rules out. But that seems like a lot of trouble to go through. And in the end, if you insist on playing in your court, you'll get so good at making your court appealing that there will be very few girls you cannot sway. I'm glad we have some plans to start together soon so I can demonstrate this, your admirer and sometime bed companion juggler.
Hmm.
That, and that was a platonic bed companion one night in San Francisco, I think. I don't know, I was a little drunk, so I'm not sure. So anyway, so I guess on that note and that post and a great piece of advice that helped me kind of get past that kind of mental block, here's a juggler.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Neil. It's good to be here. It's good to talk to everybody out there in Neil land. You know, it's funny that you bring up that post because I was just doing a little phone coaching with a guy last night, Australian guy, and I'm still trying to get this message clear, I think, to a lot of people that it's okay to reveal your sexual interest, and there's definitely a time to reveal your sexual interest. I think that in many ways, a girl makes up her mind in the first minute when she meets you if she could possibly have sex with you or not. She knows that. And I don't think it's very difficult to change her mind once she sort of made up her mind about a guy. And I think one of the things that we can do, though, is the girls who were in the category where she possibly would have sex with us, make love, I think we need to try to win those girls over as much as possible. And I think when it comes down to it, she knows right away. So it doesn't matter if you show your sex or interest now or 3 dates or in half an hour or whenever. I like to do it as soon as possible. And when I started out trying to learn how to meet women, I was really bad. And I would eventually show my interest in about maybe the third date after 2 weeks. And it was always like a big deal because I'd build it up so much in my mind that it was like, hey, I got to tell you something really, really important. Sit down. Are you ready for this? Here's a small gift to ease you into it. And here's the thing. I really, really, really like you. And that really didn't work because it was too heavy. It was too much. It was just a big thing that in her mind, it meant too much to me. And she didn't want to be on the hook for something that meant so much. Instead of what I should have done is show my sexual interest earlier in a fun, light way, but in a direct way as well. And I believe that your job, guys listening to this, is to be a wolf. And what I mean is that a wolf, what does he do? A wolf is up on the peak of the ridge there, and he sees down into the valley the sheep eating the grass, and his job is to run down there and either eat the sheep or to chase them away. I think it's humiliating living in peace with the sheep. That's not your job. So I'm always trying to tell people at a certain point, there's a certain window that opens that you got to show your sexual interest because you either got to chase her away in a sense where it's never going to be a possibility, or she's going to sort of get with the program. She's going to be open to going in that direction. You're going to show your intent is very clear. So I'm always telling guys, show your sexual interest based on something's unique that is unique from her. And then you can tell by her subcommunication if it's ever going to happen or not. Saves you a lot of time.
It's funny because last night I was actually out, and by coincidence ran into Love Drop and Mystery and Matador, who were out. And I sat down and had a conversation, as guys tend to do instead of meeting women. They talk about it when they go out. And so I sat down with them, and your name came up. And Love Drop was saying was that, you know, there's a sort of rule in this community sort of like not to buy drinks for girls.
Yeah.
And he was saying that they're actually, it is okay to do it at the right time.
Right.
And he said this kind of this idea, he said he finally understood, and I don't know what the principle of yours he understood,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'll say it, then maybe you can say what the principle is.
Sure.
He said, well, I finally understood this principle, which is that, of course, you don't walk up to a girl and buy her a drink because that's sort of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
But say you're talking to a girl, you're enjoying her, having a good conversation, some attraction building, you can say, hey, why don't I get you a drink? What do you want? And he was saying that is not supplication, but it's sort of an SOI. It's showing your interest, a statement of intent.
Well,
maybe he misinterpreted your principle, but what was your idea?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what he's doing. I think he's throwing a couple ideas together.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't do it that way myself, but I think I like to verbalize
my sexual intent. I like to say what I get out of it as much as possible, because I think I'm just going to take the speaker here. Since most guys don't show their sexual intent, being able to show it, I think, is critical. But the way that you do it is also critical, in that people, what I found is that people do not believe in altruism. And I'm sure you're a writer. You know what altruism is. It's goodness for goodness sake. And so I think anytime you come across as altruistic, I think you've made a mistake. I think that if you come across as altruistic, she just doesn't believe that you're telling the truth. She doesn't believe that there's a reason for you to be interested in her, a reason for her to do these things. So, for instance, if a guy says to a girl, hey, I really like the shoes you're wearing. Where did you get them? I think that's a lousy opener, because that's showing that you're interested in her and that you care about the shoes, I guess, but that doesn't really show what you get out of it. So anytime you try to be altruistic, like if I say to a girl, like, I find you sexy, okay? If I say to a girl, you are sexy, that's very altruistic. That's like me being a nice guy, telling somebody that they are good or they are attractive or there's something appealing about them. And I think that's always a mistake. I think we have to, instead, because people don't believe in altruism, we have to show them what they do believe in. And Neil, I'm sure you know what that is. And for all those people who've seen the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas, what people believe in is greed. And so I'm always trying to show people my greed. Like if I came up to you, Neil, and I said, hey Neil, here's $100. You'd say, first you'd say, I'd rather have euros. But after that, you'd say,
what's the catch?
Yeah, you'd say, what's the catch? What's in it for me, right? And so you're going to feel uncomfortable. And unfortunately, guys are in the position of over and over again giving girls $100 bills. And the girl's like, why?
Right.
You know, she's always asking why. And that why isn't because you're nice and she's special. The why is you get something out of it. So I think you have to verbalize that. So if I was to say to you, well, I'm going to give you $100 because my friend Evan over here is going to give me $200 if I give you $100, suddenly that makes sense and you accept that.
Maybe I can join for a second.
If that makes sense. So we have a couple newcomers here, a couple of Neil's friends, girls here, and what's their names?
Casey.
And
Erica. But while
Casey
here,
and Erica,
we can,
yeah.
We can, like, have you jump on it. I'll see what we're doing. You don't have to.
Feel free to just jump in.
What we're doing, which is, you know, I run this thing called Style Life, and, you know, I wrote that book, The Game, right?
Yes, I'll read it.
Okay, so, okay. I'll give it to you before you leave if you want it.
Okay.
And I have to give you the Jenna book. And so every month I have a conference call with the guys. And every now and then, and I bring a friend down every time. Maybe someone's in the book. And Juggler, if you remember the book Juggler wrote, there's a chapter early in the book where he actually writes a chapter about me. We meet in San Francisco, and he makes one of my big shoes. Then we sleep together. Platonically. Like you guys did last night. Well, like I seen you guys did last night. All right. So anyway, so but why you guys aren't here, which is kind of interesting, a lot of guys talk about what they call hired guns. You guys are hired guns. You know what that is?
No.
Okay. And also, talk about it. So hired guns are just, women who have jobs working in, like, the service industry.
Oh, right.
You know, that partly, you know, for the looks as well, right?
Okay.
So, and then it's a lot of guys' frustration because they go around, they kind of learn, you know, all the stuff about meeting girls and stuff, but then it's sort of like different set of rules apply because, well, you're working. You can't talk to a guy for 15 minutes.
Sure.
So for fun, while you guys are here, even though I know you came to say goodbye, maybe you can kind of help the guys out with a couple of thoughts, which is this. When you guys, like, what do guys typically do when they try and, like, hit on you or whatever, which I'm sure happens about how many times a day?
15, 20. 15. We work at Hooters.
Okay.
It's not your restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
So 15, 20 times a day.
Yep.
And what do they usually do?
They always tell me to smile. Because since we're working, we're not going to have a huge smile past our face the entire time. And I was like, why aren't you smiling? Smile for me.
No, after they stop us a lot
and they say, you know what, you are so exotic. Where are you from? What's your nationality? And they all say, you're Hawaiian, aren't you? And they like, guess the same crap.
No,
they say that.
Did they do that with you as well?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
A lot.
Right.
I was like, yeah, and they start guessing all the time.
We're the first thing to ask. Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes they come in and they're like, will you marry me?
Sometimes they just say, will you marry me right away?
Or guys will come in and they'll say, if you ever have a baby, make sure it's with a black guy. Just because, I guess, Asian and black people have, like, really gorgeous babies or something.
Uh-huh.
That's, like, the worst thing I've ever
heard. I've heard that three times
before.
That's the worst.
Well, it would be funny if it was for a white guy, though.
That really would be.
And then usually when they do this, like, what's your, you just sort of, like, politely laugh and
smile because that's
your
job.
I just say thank you. I mean, you know, sometimes the girls, like, they chuckle politely, like, just to laugh because, you know, they made a joke. So to be polite, you just want to laugh and, you know, like, it's funny. I'm just like, oh, thanks.
Right.
I mean, I haven't even taken time to laugh right. anymore.
Now, I have an interesting question. Who's worked there the longest?
Probably us two, yeah.
You two. And how many years?
A year and 3 months.
A year. Okay, so in a year and 3 months, you've ever exchanged phone numbers with the guy?
Yes.
Okay, oh, interesting. So tell us what happened. I want to know why.
So what happened? Let's see. It's funny because usually the guys don't ask the girl, can I have your phone number?
Right.
The girl has to be the one to initiate, can I have your phone number? And, you know, all eyes are on the two people because when a good-looking guy comes in the restaurant, it's a rarity. So everyone's, like, staring at them, and girls are watching like hawks. But they don't want to go and approach them because they know that every single girl in the restaurant wants to approach them, too.
Uh-huh.
So it depends on whichever girl is gutsy enough to do it. And the only time I've ever exchanged phone numbers was when I walked up to the person and was like, you know, you're the best-looking guy that's walked in here all week. And he's like, all week, like, you're supposed to say I'm the best looking guy ever, you know what I mean? And then that's when I'm like, you know, his attitude is different because he's from a different country, from, like, South Africa.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. You sense it, though. You sense it when someone has a different attitude, like, different,
right.
you know what I mean?
Can Casey focus on looks a little more than most
yeah.
girls?
Sure.
Let's talk to Jackie.
Well, when they seem really genuine and sincere, like, they were kind of, like, almost afraid of me and really intimidated by me, he's kind of cute, isn't endearing.
Right.
Yeah.
Really stutter.
But
yeah,
you're not going to ask them, what made you, what's the story about someone's phone number who you exchanged?
Like, what did they do with
it? You said you exchanged phone numbers with someone once at work. What was the situation?
Like, meet for coffee or something.
But what made you want, like him enough to want to exchange phone numbers?
But he seemed so sincere about telling me that I was beautiful, and he seemed like he wanted my advice about his life and wanted to tell me about whatever, and he just seemed interested in me as a person. And I trusted that for some reason.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was wrong later, but I did trust that at first.
Did you see him yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you see your South African guy?
Yeah.
Awesome.
For like 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's
crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? He's only the second guy that I've ever exchanged phone numbers with, too, at my work.
Oh, that's cool.
Because usually people just give me their numbers. I don't, like, give them numbers.
Right. And then you'll obviously never call him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? That happened to me today. This guy from the Navy came up to me, and he was starting, and he was so, like, sincere, so sweet about it, so shy. He was, like, blushing, and he was, like, sweating, you know what I mean? So I was like, I'll call you. And I didn't call him. I lost his phone number. I really did. So he came in last time I worked. And he was like, oh, what have you been up to? He was really stiff, like, kind of mad at me.
Right.
Yeah. It was so cute. A little 20-year-old came up to me and was like, you're so beautiful, blah, blah. Can I take you out sometime? Please let me take you out sometime. And he was being so sweet to me, and he seemed so, like, scared. And I was like, give me your email address, and maybe I'll email you, and we can email friends. And so he gave me his email address, and I never did email him. But I wanted him, like, you know, get the vibe that, you know, he maybe had a chance, because I didn't want him to, like, lose all hope for women and, like, think every girl's going to reject him if he goes up to him.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, Jackie thinks about that kind of stuff. It's so funny.
Yeah, she doesn't want to, like, make him bitter for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead, just take his email address, and he's still there waiting for email and thinking, when am I going to be email friends?
Email me Sunday.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So any other thoughts or advice for guys who are, like, kind of in restaurants and, like, attracted to someone? And
it could be different somehow.
Yeah. Show that you care about her. Like, if she's go-go dancing, be like, would you like some water? You look really thirsty.
And
I think nice.
Don't ever ask her what are you doing later? Because she'll most likely be working. So it's annoying when it's, like, you know, 7 o'clock at night and you're at work, and he's like, what are you doing later? Working, obviously.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. No, I was thinking
that's a stupid. Or they expect to hang out with him, like, when you're off work, which is at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. He's going to, like, make dinner plans at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? It's kind of, like, trashy.
Or how about when a guy who's nice, you kind of, like, then starts monopolizing all your time, trying to have, like, into a deep conversation while you're working? Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. You just feel obligated to sit there and talk to them when they're pouring their hearts out. Because people do that. Like,
right.
We're, like, their therapists, kind of. And, I mean, even if you're just not
they do that. They have
yeah.
problems.
They have issues.
Right.
my new
catchphrase, by the way, is just because you're interacting doesn't mean you're attracting.
Yes.
Yeah. That's cute.
Because guys always think, you know, well, just because someone's being nice to them.
You
can
make a T-shirt that has that, like, magnet.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, my experience with, you call them hired guns, people who are working, is really one of just acknowledging their time constraints. Because, like, especially, I mean, I've waited tables. We don't have a lot of time, you know, at any particular time, sometimes more if you get less customers. But I think, you know, working within that time frame, working within the other person's constraints, I think is really important.
Yeah.
What do you find really attractive in a guy besides what he looks like? I'm curious.
You're talking to Michelle. No, just kidding.
I know. I like Michelle's person ever. Someone who has a lot of compassion for other people and who has a supreme understanding of people. You can tell, like, right off the bat, like, when you meet somebody, if they're really observant,
know what I mean? And if they're good at adapting to different environments, because it's really important when you're dating somebody, you bring them around different atmospheres. And if it's uncomfortable and if they get nervous or awkward, then you can't do anything. And the relationship gets really repetitive, boring, and then it gets old, and then you hate each other like after like 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, we have, I guess, the term is like calibration.
Right.
It's basically doing things that are appropriate for the situation.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, not just guys, but girls as well, they just have like a program. They're just going to do this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really take in consideration what's going on.
Exactly.
So I agree.
They're so used to like latching onto one person that they have to stick to one person the entire time. You mean, I think it's important that they're enough of their own person to be able to go off on their own, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. That's sexy. Like when I meet a girl like that, when I take a girl to a party, you probably have this as well, Neil, like when I take the girl to a party and she can go talk to other people, I don't have to sort of babysit her. I think that's really attractive. That's really sexy for some reason.
You can flirt with them, exchange phone numbers, and make out with them. I feel like that's a girl, strong girl with an independent.
That is pretty independent. I agree. You did spend some time with my wife the other day. What were you guys doing?
Exactly.
I'm good now.
Here's something kind of interesting, and then we'll get back to Juggler's life story, which is that I kind of realized, you know, watching Casey last night, which is a lot of guys walk in and they're trying to, you know, and they learn the game and they feel and calibration and all this stuff and feel like they have kind of total control over an interaction. But the truth is with you guys, the time in your life, which, you know, at which people meet you, you know, or the kind of headspace you're in,
exactly,
really is going to affect the interaction.
Exactly.
You can meet the same guy, does exact same things. And just put them in friend zone because that's where you are. You can meet the same guy to the same things and like sleep with them that night because that's where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true. I just think that's interesting.
It's all about your state of mind, completely. Like, I used to be so closed off when it, you know, sexually and emotionally when it came to men, and now that I think about it, is because one of my relationships kind of like traumatized me in a way and made me just not trust anyone. So then like after being away from that person and not hearing from that person at all, I like all of a sudden feel like I'm like myself again. So I'm like more free spirited and I don't take everything so seriously anymore. And now I'm more likely to sleep with a guy sooner and I'm more likely to call a guy more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and a guy who met you and did the exact same things 2 weeks ago would fare differently.
Yeah,
did the exact same.
Exactly.
Right.
I, like, no, thinking about it.
First person last night.
Yeah, no, really. Yeah. If some guy like today were to approach me with however the most recent guy I'm seeing right now did, I wouldn't even give a chance.
Yeah.
You know, I'd set up all these walls and make all these assumptions right away and just think, you know, I think I have them all figured out and not give them a chance.
Well, Neil, I think the real lesson there is I think a lot of guys when they experience success, they think that they've done everything to achieve that, and also when they experience failure, they think it's all them. And so I think they take on so much of a burden of the whole thing that I don't think that's really healthy. And I think that's kind of what you're saying. What's that?
It takes two to tango. Like,
exactly, yeah.
I mean, if it fails and it's both people, you can't blame it on only one person.
Yeah, I agree. And I think too many people put the whole burden on themselves.
Yeah.
I think there's like three things going on in any sort of interaction or relationship. I think there's you, there's the other person, and there's a force I call serendipity. And I think it's all three of those things that sort of have to work together. And
yeah. And
when I realized that it wasn't all on my shoulders, I became much more calmer and relaxed about the whole thing. And I think that made me a more of an appealing person. I think
and not blame yourself as much.
Yeah, I think it sounds like you've sort of reached a similar sort of place as well.
Yeah, don't blame yourself as much whenever things go wrong, and don't overanalyze every single thing. Whenever something happens, you almost have to accept it. And I think the reason why some marriages last for like 20 years plus is because both people are incredibly willing to work together to fix everything. You know what I mean? Both people have to work equally as hard. And if one person's putting more effort than the other, it's not your fault. Like you really can't force somebody to, I don't know, you can't force somebody to feel.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally agree. I feel the same way a lot of times. One of my favorite thing, I'm hijacking the whole talk here, but one of my favorite thing is I like seeing older people out on first dates.
Me too.
Isn't that the cutest thing?
How
old is your mom?
She's 42.
Okay. She's single?
She's like 45.
that's pretty sexy. Yeah. Well, if I wasn't married, I'd probably try to meet your mom, but... And the whole talk has come to a screeching halt. Okay. Well, I think
one other thing, and then we'll get.
Yeah. Okay. I think the girls are headed out. I just wanna.
Yeah.
I like talking to you guys. It's fun.
Okay. Can I talk about Erica's experience?
Oh my gosh, we just talk about Erica's experience.
Can we talk it?
Yes,
can we discuss
it? Do it. Talk about it.
Okay, this was I found this to be really interesting because
Very interesting.
Why don't you want to tell the story a little bit and then I'll kind of give a little interpretation or thoughts.
I ran off outside, and they couldn't get back in the
house. No, tell Jackie.
And,
tell. Wait, I'm going to have Jackie start it off.
Basically, what happened to Erica is Erica got separated from our little group, and none of us could find her. We see her outside of the club, and me and Nia are like, Erica, come here, we're going to stop the car, and come get in the car with us. And we're waiting for her to come to the car, and she never comes because the guy that she was with dragged her off somewhere, realizing that she's in an altered state of mind, took her away. Really interesting stuff happened. Erica, why do you continue the story?
So let me just kind of get to a few key details, which is Erica had a few drinks in the club. Met a guy, and probably like you were enjoyed having a club makeout.
That's why. He's tall.
A tall guy.
Right. He's tall. Yep. He's 6'4". Exactly. He's 6'4", at least.
That's a giant.
Shallow.
How tall are you? Wait, how tall are you?
5'8".
Right.
Okay, that's pretty tall.
And those heels, she's like 6'4". So when you met him in the club, how'd you guys start making out or whatever? Do you remember?
We didn't make out in the club.
You didn't?
Yes, you did, Erica.
She goes, we didn't make out in the club, did we? And everyone else, like, yes, you did.
Inside or outside? Inside. It's so funny.
So then, they see her outside. How many times did you guys try to call her when she was leaving? How many times do you think you called
12.
Her?
12. I would say 12. Exactly.
Right.
12.
It's like her safety was important to you. Why did you try to call her so much?
Because I didn't trust the guy she was with. I didn't know who he was. If I knew who he was, he was some skeezy mofo. I didn't say that he was hot enough for her. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm kidding.
So you guys called her all these times, and then you guys went outside, and then what happened?
About the cab now?
Yeah.
So they get into a cab.